Being right is not always being righteous. And I want you to hear that, because being righteous is what we are aiming for, not being right. And when you understand that being righteous has to do with loving others, forgiving others, working with others, and understanding that not everybody is in the same place that you are emotionally, mentally, or physically. What it means to be a disciple and what it means to be a disciple maker. In other words, if you're going to be a disciple of Christ, you also have to be a disciple maker. And the best way I can explain this to you, it is not about lecturing people. It is not about beating people up. It's definitely not about taking your Bible and hitting them over the head. It is about building relationships. And we're going to continue on this theme through the end of the year and on into next year. And the idea behind this is you as disciples, you as God's people, have to be the best people in the world in terms of your relationships. You first of all have to have the right relationship with God. If you're not in the right relationship with God, nothing else in this life matters. But if you're in the right relationship with God, but you're in the wrong relationship with others, then you have not been a success in this life. And I want all of you to be a success in this life. I don't want you just to call yourself Christian. I want you to show the world what a Christian is and how a Christian loves. So, Neil, why are you talking about how to fight fair? Because I'm going to tell you this, in this world, you're dealing with broken people. You are a broken person. As a matter of fact, if you don't think you're broken, read our prayer list. Chris did a great job of going down the list of people that are on our prayer list, and we've been watching that. I'm not going out of town again if you guys are going to fall apart like this. But here's the thing. We're living in a broken world, and we're living with broken people. And no matter how hard you try, you're not going to be at it 100% all the time. So things are going to happen. And I did a wedding as part of my travels. I got to go to Thomasville, Georgia, and do a wedding for a young man who I've known since he was 5 years old. As a matter of fact, Nancy and I taught him and his sister in VBS when I first met this young man. And he's grown up, he works in Tallahassee, he's a part of the Attorney General's office, and is probably going to be working on DeSantis's campaign if he decides to run for president. Amazing young man, but what's really great about it is this young man is getting married to the love of his life, and it was just an awesome occasion. But one of the things I did when I was marrying them is I had them turn around and face the crowd. They had a fairly small wedding. I think it was about 75, 80 people. But I had them turn around and face the crowd, and I asked them, I said, how many of you think that Chris is going to do something to make Brittany really, really mad in the next 6 months? And they all raised their hand. And I said, well, what about Brittany? How many of y'all think Brittany's going to do something in the next 6 months to make Chris really, really mad? And her mother went like this. She almost started the wave right there at the wedding. But you're going to have conflict in your life. No matter how good your relationships are, you're going to have conflict. I have some of the most amazing relationships that I can ever even imagine with the people of this church. But guess what? No matter what, you're going to have conflict. And no matter who you marry, and I don't care who it is, you're going to have conflict in your life. And if you're never married, you're going to have conflict in your life. So what I'm trying to teach you today is how the Bible teaches us how to fight fair. You'll notice I've got 20 points in here. I got up this morning and I got to looking at this and I thought, there is no way I'm going to get through all of this. First of all, I have to reintroduce myself to most everybody in here. Been gone that long. But I'm back. I filled out the visitor card. It's okay. So let's look at the scripture that I got down here for you today. It says in verse 22, you were taught. Now, the reason why I want you to underline those words right there is because you need to understand that you don't know everything about relationships. No matter how long you've been doing this in this life, you have to be taught some things. Now, the biggest problem I had when I was younger, and maybe some of you can relate to this, is I thought I knew everything already. And now that I'm in my 60s, I'm realizing how little I know. So I want you to underline, you were taught, because you need to be taught these things. This is not something you're going to get on your own. Maybe, just maybe, if you were in a household with a man and a woman who raised you in a way how to deal with conflict correctly, if you were lucky enough to be in that situation, you were already taught. But most of us did not witness conflict resolution the way that God intended. It says here, you were taught with regards to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. And underline verse 23, to be made new in attitude of your minds. And I want you to get that part right there, is because you have to have a new attitude when it comes to conflict. It's not going to be the same attitude that you've had. One of the things that a lot of people do is they avoid conflict at all cost. They will make sure whatever they have to do in order to avoid conflict, it's got to be avoided no matter what. And then there's some people who just like to fight. You ever meet somebody like that? Somebody that just likes to argue all the time? Well, it says here, you are to be made new in the attitude of your mind. In verse 24, and put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. You see, our goal here is not just to be able to fight fair. Our goal is to be holy and righteous before God. And when the things I'm teaching you today are very practical. Anybody can take these things and use them. But the idea here is behind us being disciples is that we want to be holy and righteous before God. So we were taught, we're going to change our attitudes, and we're going to put on this new self which is righteous and holy before God. And therefore, you must put off falsehoods and speak truthfully. Underline those words. Put off falsehoods and speak truthfully. Because the problem with most of us today is we lie to each other. And we lie to each other specifically when we have conflict or we want to get out of a bad situation. And we need to learn to put off falsehoods, to quit lying to each other, and to do it in a way where we can speak truthfully. Now, I'm going to just tell you, gentlemen, if your wife looks at you and says, does this dress make me look fat? I'm going to tell you to use wisdom. And I'm going to tell you to use discretion. And say, what do you think? Because whatever you think, I agree with. All right, we got that out of the way. Number 26, verse 26, in your anger, do not sin. This is a hard one here. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Most of the time we get in conflict, we first and foremost get angry. That's my go-to emotion when I'm in conflict. When somebody disagrees with me, especially because I'm always right, it makes me angry that they disagree with me. They can't see how intelligent and how smart and how wise I am about things, and they're just going to disagree with me. It makes me angry. But it says here it's okay to have that emotion. It's all right for you to have that emotion about being angry. But what it says here is do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on you while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. And the idea here is you're going to get angry. You're going to have an angry emotion from time to time. It happens. It's a natural response. I have a natural response to get angry when I get scared. I have that fight response. So if somebody pulls out in front of me and I have to slam on my back brakes or I almost get in an accident, my first emotion is anger. It's not something I can help. But it is something that I can control. And I can control by not sinning when I get angry. And I can certainly not carry anger around in my heart. Because you've got to learn to control those emotions. We've got to have that new attitude. It says, he who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. This is the object of work, is that we can have something to share with those who are in need. Verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may be benefit to those who listen. Our words are so important in our relationships. We have the propensity to tease and to tear down others without even thinking about it. And the Bible says, do not let any unwholesome words come out of your mouth, but only what is good for building others up. And the reason why I'm telling you this is because you've got to understand that your words in an argument are going to have more power than you ever believe. It says, it goes on to say, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And this is how we grieve the Holy Spirit in my mind. Verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. I want to stop right there, and I want you to think about, do you have any of this in your life? Is there bitterness in your life? I have done my best to get rid of all bitterness that I have against people. As a matter of fact, I have bitterness from time to time that creeps up because somebody will do something to me. And when I realize I've got a bitter spirit towards somebody, I will pray for that person. I will go after that person and try to build that relationship. Not because they've apologized, not because they've done what's right, but because I don't want any bitterness in my heart. And there are some people that just live in bitterness. They live in rage. They live in anger. And they love to fight. And they love to slander others. I was talking to my friend who is the preacher in the church in Kentucky. And he was talking about how somebody had said something very derogatory about him and how it hurt him. And the slander that had taken place, that had no business taking place. And I said, well, I think it's God trying to shape you. First of all, I told him, I said, if you're going to be a preacher, you might as well get used to people talking bad about you. It's just the way it goes. Because no matter who you try to please, somebody's going to be unhappy. But here's what we've got to do, is we've got to get rid of all of them, and along with every form of malice. And malice can be gossip. Malice can be talking about people in a derogatory way. And a lot of times we as church members, we gossip about each other without even thinking about it. And we need to get rid of all of that. And then he goes on to say, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Now, that's what the scriptures tell us about how we should live and how we are going to handle relationships. And I'm going to give you practical information. I don't know if I'm going to get through all of them today, but we're going to try because we've got time, I think. The first one is you need to understand the difference between a problem and a fact of life. When you're in relationship with somebody, there are problems and there are facts of life. When Nancy and I were first married, at that particular time in my life, I was 6'3". Now I'm only 6'2". something happens. I think Nancy beat me down a whole inch. I'm not sure. But when we were first married, one of the problems we had, one of the things that was frustrating to her, is she liked to tuck those sheets in underneath the edge of the bed. She liked them tucked in tight, so when you crawled in there, it was like a sandwich. And I'm 6'3", and our bed is not that big. And in the night, I would go to bed, and my feet would move, and I would turn. And by morning time, guess what? The sheets were untucked. Well, it's a fact of life. I cannot do anything about it unless I go get surgery and shorten myself, or she beats me down like she did. But here's the thing. It was frustrating to her. There was nothing we could do about it. Now, that's a fact of life. That problem is something I can do something about. I'm just going to tell you, I'm a horrible husband. I can prove it. Nancy can prove it. But when I come in at night, this was more of a problem when we were first married, but when I came in at night, I would be tired, and I would sit down, and I would take my shoes off, and I would set them beside my chair. And Nancy would come along, and she would trip over my shoes. And she would say to me, "Neil, can you put your shoes away?" And I'm like, "I'll get them in a minute." But eventually, she trained me to put my shoes away. But you see, that's a problem, and it's something that can be fixed. A fact of life is I was 6'3 at the time, and I move and I stretch when I'm sleeping because I don't sleep in one spot all night. And I untuck the covers. So that's the difference. The second thing I want you to learn when you are fighting with people, when you're in conflict with people, is you need to remember to be specific about the problem. You need to be specific about things, because when you're not specific, there is a tendency to be misunderstood, and then you attack the person and not the problem. So we're just going to take the shoe example, and we're not going to bring Nancy as to what she did or how she did it, because she's not here to defend herself. But let me just explain to you what you can do in that particular situation. As a wife, you can say, "You need to learn to pick up after yourself." And that's not specific. Or you can say, like Nancy did, "You need to pick up your shoes because I trip over them and I hurt myself." And that's a very specific way to deal with the problem. So you need to be specific. Number three, don't let emotions block your communications. And there's some communication stoppers that happen in here, and all of you fall into one of these categories here. First of all, there are the screamers. And these are the people who yell during an argument. These are the people, when they get in conflict, they're just going to yell it out. I know growing up, that's what we did in our household. I have two brothers and a sister, and the three of us were always in conflict over something, and we would just yell at each other. And that's one way that blocks communication. You can't settle a conflict. You can't move past conflict if you're screaming at each other. And then there's the streamers. And this is someone who cries during an argument. And they just cry. They just cry. And you can't talk to somebody that's crying, can you? Have you ever tried to argue with somebody that's crying? You can't argue, and you can't resolve anything because they're crying. That emotion, it takes over. And the third one is the steamers, and those are people who pout in an argument. I know my mother-in-law was like this. She'd get upset with me sometimes, and she would pout at me. She wouldn't talk to me for a couple of days because she was pouting at me. You cannot handle conflict if people are going to pout. And this is the fourth one, and these are the schemers, and this is someone who manipulates during an argument. And if you are like me, you are a manipulator. I'm just going to tell you right now, that is my number one go-to when I'm in conflict. I can manipulate any situation. Recently, I was on a jury pool, and we listened to a case, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I would have made a great attorney because I could have manipulated everything that was going on in there. And that's what we do sometimes. But if you're doing all of those things, you're not going to settle conflicts. You're not going to grow from that conflict. Number four, avoid labels. when you're around people and you're saying things like you're lazy, and they're probably going to say, well, yes, I am, and I'm never going to change. So you don't want to label each other, and you certainly don't want to do that with kids when you're having conflict with them. Negative labeling is common, and it's always destructive. You need to understand that when you call somebody a particular name, whether it's lazy or good for nothing, it is always destructive. Number five, avoid absolutes. And absolutes is you don't tell your husband you never take out the trash. And don't tell your wife, like, you always nag me. Never and always need to be taken out of your vocabulary when it comes to conflict. Because the only time absolutes are true in life is in math. When it comes to relationship, it's not. Nancy told me one time, you forgot to take out the trash. You always forget to take out the trash. And I pulled up my calendar and I gave her the date that I took out the trash. You see how that works? So, number six, agree on the timing of an argument. When do you delay an argument? First of all, you delay it when emotions are high. If you are really in a high emotional spot, and I know couples who have words that they use or sentences that they use that when they're in a highly emotional conflict or discussion, one of them will look at the other one and say, I love you too much to let this go on right now. Let's take a time out and let's get back together in an hour or whatever they decide. You see, you've got to know when to avoid those arguments. That's letter B, is when others are around. And I know I've shared this with you before, but one of the most embarrassing things that ever happened to me was when Nancy and I were at a mall and we were having a heated discussion. And we got over it, went home, nothing about it. But then the associate minister saw me Sunday morning and said, hey, I saw you at the mall the other day. And I'm like, oh, really? Why didn't you come over and speak? He said, didn't look like it was a good time. I'm like, okay, so when others are around, and letter C is before important events. Before important events. I used to tease all the time, this is the reason why Nancy and I don't ride to church together. But that's not the case really. But the thing of it is if there's something important going up, that's not the time to try to settle a discussion. That's not the time to try to settle conflict. One of the things that Nancy knows about me, and she's really good about, is not talking to me until I've had a shower first thing in the morning, because I do not wake up very happy. Anybody wake up happy in the morning? You people are sick, okay? I have to get a shower before I'm happy, okay? So anyway, there's times where you have to agree on the timing of the argument. Number seven, you need to clear the air quickly. In other words, when you're in the middle of conflict with somebody, you've resolved the conflict, you just need to move on, you need to let it go, and you need to keep on moving in the right direction. There's no reason for you to just keep hanging on to stuff, and then all of a sudden when you get mad, you just dump everything all at once. Number eight, don't overreact to a conflict. Don't drop a bomb when a slingshot will do. A lot of times we overreact to conflict. I read on the news this morning, it was the funniest thing ever, is this guy had to go into surgery because he ate a live crab. And I saw that on the news. Did you see that? Yeah, I saw it on the news. I was like, that is the most amazing thing ever. And I clicked it on because I wanted to read more. I wanted to know why in the world anybody would eat a live crab. And the story said the man ate the live crab because it pinched his daughter. Yeah, that was my reaction. I just tell my little girl, stay away from her. So anyway, all right, so don't overreact to conflict. Number nine, position things positively. Give the person that you are dealing in conflict with, give them the benefit of the doubt. To handle yourself, use your head. To handle others, use your heart. You need to remember that we are in loving relationship with the Lord and with each other, especially those of the household of faith, and even more importantly, the people that you're married to. This world has gotten love so messed up, they all think it's about having this chemical reaction to each other, and you fall in and out of love. Love is a choice, and you need to make that choice to love your spouse and to love others, and especially when you're having conflict with them. Number 10, don't try to analyze motives. Motives are subject, and you need to just criticize the action and not the person. Criticize the action and not the person. See, we judge others by what they do, and we judge ourselves on our intentions. But then when it comes to times when somebody does something to hurt us, we judge them not only on their actions, but we also judge them on their intentions. We tell them that they intended to do that when it was certainly a mistake. And we need to remember that we need to not analyze motives. And the intimate relationship you have with your spouse, and the intimate relationship you have with those that are close to you, that gives you knowledge of how they think. That gives you knowledge of what they feel. And because of that knowledge, a lot of times we think we know what's going on in somebody's head. And you may be right, but you do not criticize their or analyze their motives. All right. And then just remember, that person will become how they're treated. Number 11. Love others more than your opinion. Love others more than your opinion. When Nancy and I were moving to Jacksonville, our kids were little, and I had just taken a preaching job there in Jacksonville, and we were renting a house. And the house was set up kind of weird, but anyway, to give you the short version of the story, there was a dishwasher right here, and there was a small cabinet right here. And Nancy and I were unloading things, and she was putting things away. And I noticed that she was putting the dishes in the cabinet over here. And me being a guy that does time management and things like that, I explained to her that if you take the dishes from here and you put them up there, it's going to be easier than taking them and walking two steps over here. And she says, well, I know that probably makes sense, but this is where I want the dishes. And I said, honey, baby, listen to me. Let me explain this to you again, because obviously you didn't get it. You wives are looking at me like, yep, you're sticking your foot in it right now. And I took the dishes and I put them from the dishwasher and showed her how easy it was to put them in there. And you realize that woman got mad at me? And the argument finally ended with her saying, I don't care if you never unload this dishwasher in this house, the dishes are going over here. And y'all would have thought that I'd have been smart enough to stop. You see what I was doing? I loved my opinion more than I loved my spouse. Number 12, follow the 101% principle. Find the 1% that you can agree on and give 100% of your attention to it. It's not going to solve everything, but it will bring you closer together. Number 13, show that you understand the person's position. Active listening is what they call that. It's where you hear somebody tell you something and then you repeat it back to them to make sure you understand what they're saying. You need to be able to make sure that person knows that you understand what they are talking about. Number 14, encourage a response. People who are in conflict, a lot of time feel extreme emotions, especially if they're not used to conflict or if it's something that there is kind of catches them off guard. You need to give them a time to respond to that. You need to let them have time to swallow the hurt or express an emotion in that. Number 15, be committed to honesty and mutual respect. Be committed to honesty and mutual respect. Don't lie just because you don't want to be in conflict, but you need to have that respect and be able to tell each other the truth. You see, honesty will allow the relationship to grow, and respect will allow the relationship to last. If you don't have those two, the relationship will not last. Number 16, check your own motives. It's not what's happening to me, it's what's happening inside of me that counts. You see, when it becomes the Christian frame of mind, we need to keep in mind that what's going on inside of us, how we're letting the Spirit rule us, how we're living Christ-like lives, that's what's most important to us. It's not about winning an argument. It's not about being right or wrong. It's about how we're growing in this process. Number 17, provide an escape. Follow the golden rule. Let them get out of it if they put themselves in a situation. I'm going to just tell you, I'm growing at this because my way of doing things, if I see somebody that's doing wrong, I'm going to back them in a corner until they say, hey, I'm doing wrong here. But when you love others as you love yourself, you let them have an escape. Number 18, when you're wrong, admit it. When you're wrong, you need to admit it. For those of you who are in here who are schemers like me, we will be having a meeting after church to see how we can take over the world. But seriously, if you're a schemer and your emotional view of conflict, if you're a schemer, I'm going to tell you right now, this is going to be very hard for you because you're scheming how you're not wrong ever. As a matter of fact, Nancy used to tell me when we were first married, we would have our discussions. And we'd get through the discussion and Nancy would say, you know, you're always, 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 always right. To which I would say, thank you. No, we wouldn't be married if I did that, would we? But that was my whole goal in life, is I wanted to be right. And there's so many of us in here who want to be right on everything. And I'm here to tell you, being right is not always being righteous. And I want you to hear that, because being righteous is what we are aiming for, not being right. And when you understand that being righteous has to do with loving others, forgiving others, working with others, and understanding that not everybody is in the same place that you are emotionally, mentally, or physically. I love this church. I was in here yesterday and one of the sisters just looked at me and she says, are you okay? And I'm like, why? She says, well, you don't look good. And, of course, I've been up and down on my knees doing some things, and I was just exhausted. And I just love the fact that people recognize the fact that I was exhausted, not that I wanted to be exhausted, but people need to recognize where others are emotionally, physically, spiritually. And in doing so, number 19, 18. Did I do 18? Oh. 19 was 12. Are we on 20 now? What? When it's over, clean up the mess is 19. 18 is when you're wrong, admit it. How's that? Well, where are we now? Clean up the mess. All right, let's clean this mess up. We're going to clean this mess up by number one, listening. Tenderness, kindness, and forgiveness. Putting the issue in the past. We don't need to hang on to hurts. We don't need to hang on to conflict. We need to put conflict in the past. And number 20, welcome each conflict. Make it a growth process. I want you to underline that. Welcome each conflict and make it a growth process, especially in marriages. And when it comes to marriages, you need to make conflict a growth process. If you're both willing to grow in the process, you're going to have a fantastic marriage. But even if your spouse doesn't want to grow through conflict, you can grow through conflict. Amen? Folks, you may have come here today and you wanted to hear book, chapter, and verse about everything that was going on, and you got to hear book, chapter, and verse at the beginning, but the things that I'm telling you now are practical is practical information that you can take out into the world and you can use to better strengthen your relationships. And the reason why I want that for you is because we have said this before. If you don't have the right relationship with God and you do not have the right relationship with others, you are not a success. It's not how much money you have. It's not what kind of car you buy. It's not what kind of education you have. It's not who you're married to. It's not how much money you have in the bank account. It's not where you live. It's about your relationship with God and your relationship with others. Each Lord's Day we sing an invitation song. We sing that invitation song because we want to encourage you to make sure that, number one, your relationship with God is where it needs to be. And if your relationship with God is lacking, take the invitation song. Take the time as we encourage you to make your relationship with God what it needs to be. And if your relationship with others is not what it needs to be, think about, while we're singing this invitation song, how you can make that relationship right. The lesson is yours as we stand and sing. And be able to tell each other the truth. You see, honesty will allow the relationship to grow, and respect will allow the relationship to last. If you don't have those two, the relationship will not last. Number 16, check your own motives. It's not what's happening to me, it's what's happening inside of me that counts. You see, when it becomes the Christian frame of mind, we need to keep in mind that what's going on inside of us, how we're letting the Spirit rule us, how we're living Christ-like lives, that's what's most important to us. It's not about winning an argument. It's not about being right or wrong. It's about how we're growing in this process. Number 17, provide an escape. Follow the golden rule. Let them get out of it if they put themselves in a situation. I'm going to just tell you, I'm growing at this because my way of doing things, if I see somebody that's doing wrong, I'm going to back them in a corner until they say, hey, I'm doing wrong here. But when you love others as you love yourself, you let them have an escape. Number 18, when you're wrong, admit it. When you're wrong, you need to admit it. For those of you who are in here who are schemers like me, we will be having a meeting after church to see how we can take over the world. But seriously, if you're a schemer and your emotional view of conflict, if you're a schemer, I'm going to tell you right now, this is going to be very hard for you because you're scheming how you're not wrong ever. As a matter of fact, Nancy used to tell me when we were first married, we would have our discussions. And we'd get through the discussion and Nancy would say, you know, You're always, 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 always right. To which I would say, thank you. No, no, we wouldn't be married if I did that, would we? But that was my whole goal in life, is I wanted to be right. And there's so many of us in here who want to be right on everything. And I'm here to tell you, being right is not always being righteous. And I want you to hear that, because being righteous is what we are aiming for, not being right. And when you understand that being righteous has to do with loving others, forgiving others, working with others, and understanding that not everybody is in the same place that you are emotionally, mentally, or physically. I love this church. I was in here yesterday and one of the sisters just looked at me and she says, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "Why?" She says, "Well, you don't look good." And of course, I've been up and down on my knees doing some things and I was just exhausted. And I just love the fact that people recognize the fact that I was exhausted, not that I wanted to be exhausted, but people need to recognize where others are emotionally, physically, spiritually. And in doing so, number 19. 18. Did I do 18? Oh. 19 was 12. Are we on 20 now? What? When it's over, clean up the mess is 19. 18 is when you're wrong, admit it. How's that? Well, where are we now? Clean up the mess. All right, let's clean this mess up. We're going to clean this mess up by number one, listening. Tenderness, kindness, and forgiveness. Putting the issue in the past. We don't need to hang on to hurts. We don't need to hang on to conflict. We need to put conflict in the past. And number 20, welcome each conflict. Make it a growth process. I want you to underline that. Welcome each conflict and make it a growth process, especially in marriages. And when it comes to marriages, you need to make conflict a growth process. If you're both willing to grow in the process, you're going to have a fantastic marriage. But even if your spouse doesn't want to grow through conflict, you can grow through conflict. Amen? Folks, you may have come here today and you wanted to hear book, chapter, and verse about everything that was going on, and you got to hear book, chapter, and verse at the beginning, but the things that I'm telling you now are practical information that you can take out into the world and you can use to better strengthen your relationships. And the reason why I want that for you is because we have said this before. If you don't have the right relationship with God and you do not have the right relationship with others, you are not a success. It's not how much money you have. It's not what kind of car you buy. It's not what kind of education you have. It's not who you're married to. It's not how much money you have in the bank account. It's not where you live. It's about your relationship with God and your relationship with others. Each Lord's Day, we sing an invitation song. We sing that invitation song because we want to encourage you to make sure that, number one, your relationship with God is where it needs to be. And if your relationship with God is lacking, take the invitation song. Take the time as we encourage you to make your relationship with God what it needs to be. And if your relationship with others is not what it needs to be, think about, while we're singing this invitation song, how you can make that relationship right. The lesson is yours as we stand and sing.